It is a pleasure to introduce Rhonda this morning. If you have been watching news at any time, if you've been watching or reading news, you know that there's a crisis in education, a big crisis in education. There are, you've seen the videos of people attending school board meetings and having problems and issues there. Rhonda is the founder and president of Truth in Education. And that is an organization that's whose mission is to inform and educate parents, legislators, churches about the radical ideologies and things being taught in education today. She comes at it from a Christian worldview, which is awfully nice. And she's here this morning with her husband, Richard. We welcome him. It is a pleasure to introduce her. I have the pleasure of serving on her board, and that's a great honor. So if you would you please welcome Rhonda Thomas?
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. I've been looking forward to this. I do want to say that this is not a talk that will always be uplifting, but it's the truth, and I think God calls us to share truth and what we know. I do want to thank everyone for having me. As we go through this, I'd like to ask a couple of questions first. How many of you are familiar with the books in the library that you see on the news and you hear through parents? Anyone familiar with the pornography in our school libraries? Richard is, I know. What about the furries in our schools? Have you heard of furries? You think? Okay, well, we're going to touch on all of this. So I want to, Dwayne has already talked a little bit about truth in education, so I'm going to move forward. Today, I'm going to do an overview of the ideologies that are in our school. We do four-hour trainings if you all ever want us to come back, and we dive deeper into each of these issues. But this really is just an overview of what's in our school. The main thing I want to talk about today is social emotional learning. If you notice from this slide, this is in all our schools. It's basically psychological warfare on our children. And if you notice, the UN says that it's their key to building global citizenship. So I believe if you start paying attention, and if parents do, to what's happening in our schools, we are building global citizens. And so the UN, and I'm sure all of you have heard of the United Nations, UNESCO is their education arm of this, and they are pushing social-emotional learning to really obtain their 17 sustainable development goals, which I won't get into that so much today, but they have an agenda and a purpose for this. So social-emotional learning actually rewires our children's brains. It's called neuroplasticity. It's used to destabilize our children's emotions, and that's why we're hearing so many parents talking about their children having high anxiety. The anxiety levels are out the roof. We have a psychologist on our board, Dr. Robert Jones, and he explains, I'm going to call it SEL, that's social emotional learning. So he explains it like this. Your child leaves your home feeling loved and confident. They enter these school buildings and they're on an unlevel playing field. So all day long, they're experiencing trauma. And because of that trauma, they are seeing things in children they have never seen, young children, like PTSD, bipolar, anxiety is out the roof, suicide is growing, depression levels. So it's all stemming from social emotional learning. So I want to introduce you to Dr. James Giordano. I would encourage you to Google and do research on him. He's actually part of DARPA, the Department of Defense, and he works on all their brain research projects. He's quite an interesting man. This is from a speech where he talked to West Point, and he basically shared with them that the brain is the weapon of mass destruction for the future. And it's a race between countries to see who can access the brain and its functions, the ability to assess the brain on all levels, from the subcellular all the way down to the social. And I bring this in because of social emotional learning. We're doing this to our children. Also, the ability to affect the brain on individuals with whom those brains are embodied. And he explains that if you understand the power, it puts a lot of power in your hands. If you understand you have the brain at your fingertips. He is all over the web. The man, I believe, has no heart and no feelings. If you listen to him, you will be certainly want you to research more about what's happening. So the Brain Institute, the brain, you're going to hear brain health all the time. The Brain Institute, there's actually advertisements in the airports for the Brain Institute. So everything is circulating around brain. Social emotional learning, the main platform for this online program is CASEL. CASEL stands for the Collaborative to Advance... I'm sorry, I lost that right there. Anyway, CASEL was formed in 1994 by one of Rockefeller's granddaughters and another gentleman, and that gentleman's mentor was Mr. Fetzer from the Fetzer Institute. The first conference they held was in 1994 based on drug violence and in the schools. But what this really was designed to do is to change our children's beliefs, behaviors, values, and attitudes, really in the end to remove their free will. Mr. Fetzer's mentor was Alice Bailey. Does anyone know who Alice Bailey was? She created the Luciferian Publishing Company. There is an occult backing to social emotional learning. It's all about the spirit. There are hundreds of social-emotional learning platforms. These are just a few. Second Step is one of the most popular among our school counselors that they're trained in. Our school counselors believe they are trained in mental health because they've been trained in SEL. SEL mimics mental health. It actually causes mental health issues. These are some of the funders and partners of SEL. You've got the Gates Foundation, the CDC, the World Economic Forum. These are just some of the backers of SEL and their partners. This is on the back table. There's some handouts for you guys. So we're about teaching cultural competencies, not core competencies. SEL, the ideologies that are coming through is we have Black Lives Matter curriculum in our schools. We are teaching the New Green Deal in our schools. We're teaching climate change, no private property. Our young children are learning about all of this. Again, if you connect it all to the United Nations, this is coming straight from them. We're teaching diversity. I know you're familiar with critical race theory, which is harming all our children. That has nothing to do really with... they're pitting us, our children, against each other, and we're seeing that playing out in the bullying and the violence in our schools. There's also pansexual, diversity, equity, and inclusion. It just goes on and on. But when we look at all this, it's also a database collecting system, this platform is, because it is full of surveys, and all that data is being collected on your children. You really can't define social emotional learning. As Dr. Jones says, it's like nailing Jell-O to the wall. It becomes whatever you want it to be. You cannot define it. So it's very stealth. So the history teacher might come in and give a history on white oppression, and then that's affirmed in a student's mind when they go next to their math class and the teacher asks questions about how math is not equitable. So it's very stealth. It's woven throughout their entire day in every single subject. You can never remove it. It's designed to re-educate and indoctrinate our children, again, to change their language, their thoughts, their behaviors, and their personal relationships. There's a lot that comes through personal relationships. Knowledge, love, confidence, God, right? So there's a design to change all that. So SEL actually was created by men who adhere to a worldview of atheism, New Age, and Buddhism. Their answers to the world problems are to know thyself and love others based on Marxist lens. It's manipulation. It actually deceptively trains our children apart from their parents to have a postmodern worldview that evolves around the God of self rather than around the God of that accomplishes work through Christ. So there's five pillars of SEL. One is self-awareness, self-management, responsible decision-making, social awareness, and relationship skills. So whenever a topic is taught in school, it's a wheel. So let's say they're teaching critical race theory. They'll put that puzzle piece right in the center, and all these five pillars are around it, and they teach it through emotions and behavior and self-reflection. That's the same with math. Reading, science, whatever it is, comprehensive sex ed, it's all taught through the lens of SEL, which is very dangerous. I put this here because there are 45 communist goals that are actually part of our congressional record. It was put there in 1963. All of these goals have been accomplished, by the way, except the last one, which is international court. But I'm going to highlight three of these. Because we know there's pornography in our schools. There's 43 states that K through 12 libraries are exempt from the obscenity law. These books are legal in our libraries. Until that loophole is closed, we will never get these books out. We might get one removed, but there's thousands of them. So until that loophole changes, and we have a bill at the Capitol every year, that bill never gets touched. It gets watered down. So last year, the bill we had there became an appeals process bill, which we already had an appeals process, but they made it harder for the parents. Before any taxpayer could appeal a book, and if that book gets removed, which it never does, it would be removed from all the schools, not now. Only a parent can appeal that book from the school. They have to read it. They have to write an essay on it. And then it goes to the principal to the media specialist, and then in front of the board. So they've made it harder. And that's also taxation without representation, right? No one can appeal it now. So everything we try to do, it seems to get worse for the parent. So there is a bill at the Capitol that was there last year that never came out for a hearing. Our group, Truth in Education, and several others have come together and formed a group called Georgians for Responsible Libraries. The goal is to build a website and to get a petition together and find someone in every county that will help us push to get that bill out and pray that they don't change it. But we have so much opposition from the American Library Association, the ACLU, I would say the porn industry. This is going to affect their industry, right? So we really got to get that bill out and pushed. So this is a push all over the country. But all that to say that within those 45 communist goals, number 24 is to eliminate all laws governing obscenity by calling them censorship and a violation of free speech and free press. Number 25, break down cultural standards of morality by promoting pornography and obscenity in books, magazines, motion pictures, radio, and TV. 26, promote homosexuality, degeneracy, and promiscuity as normal, natural, and healthy. I know we have men in this room that have worked on drag queen story hours. I mean, this is a manifesto, really, and they are accomplishing all of these goals through bringing Marxism into our schools. In fact, in the late 1800s, there was a theologist that said the way to get socialism into America is through their churches, and we're seeing that happen. Part of SEL is creating activism. I did not know this. Dr. Jones is really not happy with his field. He said the bell curve used to have a stable mean in the middle. It's no longer stable. It's fluid. And the reason they did that is they can bring activism in. So that has changed the picture. So SEL is about helping you find your voice. That voice is not going to be the voice we want our children to have. It's going to be the voice of all these ideologies that they're bringing in. So this was an ad for students from all these counties, Bartow, Cobb, Cherokee, Clayton, Clark, all about coming to this meeting, being taught all about diversity, equity, inclusion, and going back into the school and pushing it. So they are very big on reaching out to our youth. This picture of books on the right comes straight from our Georgia School Counseling Association's website, and it's about police violence, defunding the police. A lot of this comes through our school counselors. They are very much trained in all of this. This just appeared. This is happening again. Activism, New Green Deal, no private property, climate change. Think about all that. This is happening in Shiloh High School on November the 4th in Gwinnett County. The United Nations Association is coming in to hold a conference for them on becoming change makers. What is a change maker? They're an activist. So they're teaching them how to make posters, how to go out and talk about all this. So what SEL does is we're really sort of creating the brown shirts for our next revolution. I'm going to get into the books. I did not bring any books with me. I have plenty of them, but this is an example of a book that's for 10 to 14-year-olds in some of our libraries. Most of our libraries, it's called It's Perfectly Normal. And you can even take this into a prison. We have, for the past 4 or 5 years, been at the Capitol every session educating these legislators on the books. We take excerpts from the books. We testify about the books. And one of the legislators left a folder in his breakout room, and he had left the office, and he thought about it and went back. They were getting his aides were getting ready to call him and say, what should we do? Someone left pornography in our breakout room. But yet they won't do anything about changing this law. What this leads to is this is actually a child from a couple of years ago that is a drag queen. This child was dancing in clubs. Money was transpiring. Everything was taking place. So what we're doing now is that we are desensitizing our children through comprehensive sex ed and these books, which is part of it. Everything that's happening within our library is part of, within our school as far as the pornography, the sex ed. It's all comprehensive sex ed. The gay clubs that are in our schools, they are designed to be there to recruit children. The number one recruit is autistic children. And if you think about autistic children, they're very vulnerable. But not only that, a lot of them, depending where they are on the spectrum, are very fixated. You get an autistic child into something, and you're not going to get them out of it. So this is all an agenda to attack our children. But the thing about comprehensive sex ed that falls, again, you're teaching it through the lens of social-emotional learning, is it teaches K through 12 students that about all genders. It separates them from their parents. It actually teaches them if their parents don't agree, then they're an oppressor. And CE is used to groom children for pedophilia and sex trafficking. So that this is a really serious issue and harmful issue for our children. But also, if you've ever heard of the Frankfurt School, have you all heard of the Frankfurt School out of Germany? Again, they're promoting exactly what those 45 communist goals are, that to promote compulsory promiscuity, one-parent households, premarital sex, and homosexuality, and that is how to change Western society, and that's what is happening. So I want to go through some of the things that are shock value in our schools that actually are causing trauma. And what Dr. Jones says is when they experience this trauma, it's like a hit to them. And the blood starts rushing from the back of their head, but it never makes it to the prefrontal cortex. And it's causing constant harm. He said that used to they saw a child that cut every 3 to 4 months. It's every week now. Everything is increasing. So again, I'm going to go past this. This is one of the things that is from a school in Bryan County, Richmond Hill. This is trauma. Think about this. So a 12th grade English lit class had to come up with a problem solving world hunger. Now, world hunger, again, is a UN agenda. It's poverty, solve poverty. But if you notice, every word they use, like literacy, we're actually causing literacy. Poverty, we're causing poverty. But this is a 12th grade class, so had to create a business plan for raising and eating human babies to solve world hunger. And so what they did was they came up with, you can't read this, I know, so basically you're going to get pregnant, not be able to keep your child, so we're going to take it and take care of it for you. I find this next thing very interesting, which all we just went through. We're going to give it a vaccine. It's not going to live, but we can't bury it because remember this Mother Earth, we can't bury it. So what we're going to do is we're going to have burgers and make beef jerky. And so they've created a whole plan for this. And this is their mass production plan. This came from students. They were so upset. We got this through a parent. So basically, the U.S. Needs to get in touch with China, who's overpopulated. Their children should be sent here. Also, foster care and all these other areas that's how they're going to solve world hunger. And it was called the Dahmer's Mini Camp. And I know you're familiar with Dahmer. And you are what you eat. So their backup plan was, we got you covered. You make them and we bake them. So this was trauma for those children. Another, and this is a graphic book that's in our schools, My Friend Dahmer. We have gone from reading books to picture books. That's much more powerful for indoctrinating children. And unfortunately, most of our children are not reading on grade level. They're 2 to 3 levels behind. So we're probably, but this is makes it more emotional. We're doing a ton of surveys. So SEL is about data collection. Panorama is the main platform for collecting that. But so all week, 2 or 3 times a week, the children are given surveys. They're never anything positive. They ask questions like, how many times a week do you have sex? Have you thought of doing drugs? When did you do drugs last? How many times a week do you bathe? Are your parents together? They're not just collecting data on the children. They're collecting data on the families. And this data is being stored, and this is going to become their social credit score. This was a sample. Do you get along with your family members? Do you have parents divorced or separated? Are any of your parents or family members in jail? These, nothing ever positive. So why would we imagine that we would not have a mental health issue in our school? Children are taught in kindergarten that they can be any sex they want to be. It's not how you're born. It's how you feel and how you express yourself. Again, that's trauma. That's coming against what they know innately from God is real, who they are. And from against their parents. So if you notice, everything is against the parent, the parents being moved further and further out. Another shocker, if a boy goes into a girl's bathroom, that is trauma. We just heard that the other night from Riley Gaines, right? A lot of schools won't write a bathroom policy, but they still allow the boys in the girls' bathrooms. It happens. So there may not be a policy, but it's happening. That's traumatic. I'm going to play, there's an online platform called Edgenuity, and this SEL, DEI, and CRT are all one thing. You cannot separate them. It's critical race theory, diversity, equity, inclusion, and SEL. This is a video that was found on Edgenuity, and this is about racism, anti-racism. So I'm going to see if we can play it.
Reverse racism is a little complicated, but the simple answer is no, it is not real. Although all... Reverse racism...
Can you play it from back there?
It just needs to be a little louder.
Oh, you guys, did that come... I thought it was coming out of my computer. I apologize.
I think that it's coming through.
Reverse racism is a little complicated. Is it? The simple answer... The ability to be prejudiced and discriminate against others. Not all of us can turn that prejudice into laws, policies, and social practices.
I'm gonna start it
in the United States, white people have historically controlled our systems and institutions and race relations. Think of it this way. Are there...
Oops. I can just tell
you. Racism is a little complicated, but the simple answer is no, it is not real. Although all of us have the ability to be prejudiced and discriminate against others, not all of us can turn that prejudice into laws, policies, and social practices. In the United States, white people have historically controlled our systems and institutions and race relations. Think of it this way. Are there any laws or policies that have been created and passed by non-white people that discriminated against white people, either on purpose or on accident? No. So until white people have been systematically marginalized through slavery, racial terrorism, Jim Crow, and other attempts to stop them from voting and other practices, I cannot say reverse racism is real.
This was played to elementary students. Remember, all our curriculum is online. That is our biggest issue. They've moved away from books with the excuse it's more expensive. But if you look at what we pay our administration and all that other stuff, the money has just switched from our children's curriculum up to other areas of our school administration, other areas. So these are live videos. These videos can be changed at any time. I would imagine there are many times that our teachers or administration have no clue what our children are watching. That we signed a contract with the public broadcasting PBS. A friend of mine that's over our curriculum for Truth in Education was over curriculum for a county, and she sent me one of their lessons. One of their lessons was a middle school girl talking to a doctor. Should we take the vaccine? Yes, we should still take the vaccine. We should social distance, and we should wash our hands. There was also a video on there about Ukraine and Biden. Everything is one-sided. But not only that, again, we have no clue what our children are learning because it's all online. They also send them out to YouTube, to all these places. You have no control over what your child is learning or seeing. Okay, this is a transgender teaching safe sex to middle schoolers. The worst person in the world to be teaching that. But it's a little bit long. We'll play just a minute of it so you can get the feel for his personality.
Second, there are different contraceptives that help in practicing safe sex. The first one is birth control. Birth control is helpful in preventing pregnancy. That is all that birth control is helpful for doing. You cannot take birth control and expect not to have or get any STIs.
Thank you.
That is not the right contraceptive for that. The ideal contraceptive to use to practice sexual safety is condoms. Condoms are 99% of the time going to protect you from certain STIs, STDs, and pregnancies. However, when a lot...
So we know that's a lie, right? They're not 99% protective. And the other thing is, he goes on, this is a little longer, so I didn't play it on. He goes on to say his dad did not agree with his lifestyle, but you don't have to tell your parents. Remember, what we're doing is we're teaching our children to lie to their parents on everything. You want to use pronouns? It's okay. You don't have to tell your parents. They're erasing that respect for parents. Part of SEL is for the teacher and the counselor to become their friend and their buddy. You will hear trusted advisor. That removes the parent. They want them to come to them and not the parent. I attended the National School Counseling Association's conference here in Atlanta, which is where all our Georgia counselors get trained. It was full of equity, inclusion. I mean, it was all social justice. But the two things that I walked away with, I already knew a lot of that, is we will advocate for our children by all means necessary. Our ethical duty is above the law. If our kids want to use pronouns, we'll use nicknames. If we can't talk about it, in fact, Florida's law came up a couple of times and they would always go, woo. But their comment was, well, if we can't talk about it, it's okay. We'll saturate our room in it. We'll have a picture of myself and my partner on my desk. We'll have a pride flag hanging. We'll do all these things because what does God say? Bad company corrupts. They know that. This is satanic. This is anti-God, anti-family. And so there is no way there's enough ink and a pen to legislate any of this away. When you have such evil coming against your children, there is no way that we can legislate against it. The only thing we could do is cut the money off, and I don't see that ever happening. This is a video that was played to six-year-olds. Let's see if we can play it. It's short. However, you know what? I can just, it's very short, so I'll just say what this is. This is to six-year-olds right over their head. You know it is, but everything is repetitive, repetitive. This is all about Harvey Milk. This is Harvey Milk Day and what a great activist he was and what great strides he made for the LGBTQ community. Six-year-olds. Indoctrination. Okay, as I said, our Georgia school counselors are saturated in all of this. As they graduate, they are trained in social-emotional learning. I have a friend my age that went back to get her counseling degree in Birmingham. Her very first semester, she had to get an attorney because the professor accused her of trying to debunk critical race theory. And the only reason she got an attorney is she was concerned that if she wanted, they put her out, she wouldn't be able to get her grades. The last semester, it was an entire debate over men having babies. She said, Rhonda, this is what all our school counselors are being trained in. The older ones will go away. These are all coming in. And she said, they are teaching young women to hate men. This social justice movement is deeper and bigger than we realize. And it's coming through mostly our school counselors. So these books are on the Georgia School Counseling Association site. It was part of a webinar, actually. The top row is what's recommended for teachers for self-reflection. The bottom row is for educators to use and counselors to work with the students. I'm going to speed up a little bit because we're getting – this was part of a counseling webinar. I'm just going to read one thing. Understand and recognize white privilege personally. The teachers I attended a two-day conference put on by CASEL, sponsored by the Rockefeller Center and the Fetzer Institute in New York. And it was – the title of it was Spirituality at the Core of Every Child is Spirituality. This was 2 days of Buddhism, Hinduism, the spirit, Gandhi, the drums, everything. This is a world religion. SEL is a world religion. We have mindfulness in our schools. Is anyone familiar with mindfulness? In some ways, that could be a good thing, but not how it's being done in our schools. In fact, at that conference, they said, the churches and the parents have indoctrinated the kids. Mindfulness is about wiping all that away and bringing in their views. We have meditation rooms in our schools. I actually had a parent tell me that her child was given a rock to take in there with her. I had a teacher send me some of the training videos that they're trained on by their mindfulness teacher who makes $92,000 a year, and she's nothing but a yoga teacher. So this is all about anti-God. Social-emotional learning, again, relies on data collection through these platforms. It impersonates mental health. It has privacy issues. It circumvents parental rights. This document's on the back table, so I'm not going to go into that. Mental health. We know we have mental health. Well, I'll call them mental health. I got to quit doing that. School-based health centers coming into our schools. Last year, we had HB 1013, a mental health bill that was passed into law. In that mental health bill, they are allowed to do universal screenings on infants through 18. Universal screenings. Do you know what that means? They don't have to have the parents' consent. If you have to do it individually, you have to have a consent. But if you do universal screenings, they do it without you. So now the goal is to label every child with something, because what does that do? It brings in more money. And now we have these school clinics coming into our schools that we've fully staffed, and we're paying for all their education, by the way. That was part of that bill. psychologists, psychiatrists, ear doctors, pediatricians, eye doctors, mental health therapists, social workers. I attended an economic development conference in Birmingham, and one of their breakout sessions was a baby's vest with a digital tool in it that monitored how many words you say to your child a day. If you read to your child, that is sent out to for the data to be analyzed and brought back in. Why are we doing universal screenings on infants? I believe it's to bring social workers into our homes with all our new families. I attended Healthcare Unscrambled last year. It was, is that me? I'm sorry. That was all people the other side. I was the only one there not. And at the end of the day, because I heard them talking about prenatal care, expanding Medicaid, all this stuff. So I said, I am seeing bills across the country that are for bringing healthcare into the home. Social workers, are you guys hoping to do that? Well, we're already piloting it. So that mental health bill encompassed all of Georgia. It should have been an area, a section that would have taken care of people that really needed the help. But instead, all of us are part of that. And so now that's coming into our schools with telehealth. At 13 in Georgia, a child can make their own mental health and drug addiction decisions, outpatient only, no parent consent. So now what happens? If a child decides at 13 they want to transition, they can go to that counselor and say they're scared to tell their parent. Now it becomes a mental health issue. They can now send that child out to do whatever they want to do. Parental rights are almost gone. And when those clinics come into our schools, we are going to have a big battle. There was another state, I didn't bring that with me, that actually the clinic sent the child home with a some type of medication that was a powerful drug that the child knew nothing about. So our state is going to get kickbacks on all these medications also that are going to be hit in our these clinics. So why in the world, when I testified for that against that bill, why are we fighting and trying to pass bills on critical race theory and diversity, equity, and inclusion when every single mental health organization that's going to be in our schools, go look at their websites, they're full of it, absolutely full of it. So what we're trying to do is for naught, because every bit of it's coming through our counselors and it's coming through these mental health clinics. You just will be shocked at how much diversity, equity, social justice, it's all on those sides. So now on this screen, universal screening, at least one other social emotional support available for students at every tier level. There is something, I'm going to have to talk faster. There's something in our schools called the multi-tier student system. This pyramid used to have four levels. The bottom level was 80% of the children that needed nothing. And then if they did need something, the other levels, they were bumped up depending on what they needed. Well, guess what? They removed that bottom level now, and it says students receive services at all levels depending on their need. There is a goal to label every single child with something because there's money to be made. This is from a school board member in another county. She sent it to me because the teachers had to do a universal screening on their students, not with the student, on their own. Let me show you what was on here. 10 questions. Do they steal? Do they lie? Do they cheat? Do they sneak? Do they have behavior problems, peer rejection, low academic achievement, negative attitude, aggressive behavior, emotionally flat? Now, what child would not need mental health help with the survey questions that our children receive and the trauma they're experiencing every day? We're creating the mental health issues, and now we have a solution. It sounds like a left platform. I won't go into that. This was an example of one of the mental health organizations, Cultural Responsiveness and Equity. They're in our schools, guys. This was just a mock-up from the Georgia DOE of a mental health clinic. So that wheel you see on the top left, this all comes down to what is called the whole child, whole community model. You can find this model on the CDC. You can find it in China. This is a global movement. It's all based on SEL, but what it's really based on is private public-private partnerships. Money. Our charter schools are for profit because they all have management organizations that make money. Our health clinics are going to be for profit. So this is all based on equity, and the goal to is ensure that every child is challenged, healthy, engaged, supported, and safe, as defined and provided and assessed by the federal, state, and local government, not by a parent. This is all about equity. I want to talk about the workforce. I used to teach classes 30 years ago on Agenda 21. This is all a UN agenda. It's 2030 now. You hear it all the time. We are creating capital, human capital, for a workforce. We don't need children that read. We don't need children that do math. We need children we can control. And that's what we're doing through social emotional learning. We are going to control those children. If you go and you look, this is international too, by the way, but there are organizations that pour millions of dollars into social emotional learning. This is on Castle's website. Remember, the main platform for SEL, educating future-ready students. I'm going to have to get up close. Developing social and emotional skills with an equitable, pick up on all these words, learning environments are particularly important now as we work to identify and elevate strong policies to address inequities in youth employment and engage in economic revival. Employee social and emotional skills that are in demand. Think about the SEG, the social environmental governance score. That's what this is. We're building the social credit score at the bottom, and at top, they've got the ESG. Our children are going to be hired and fired based on their social credit score. American Rescue Plan put $123 billion into K-12, leveraging foundational SEL, prioritizing systemic SEL through partnerships and support. And there, by the way, we're going to be brought into it at some point. And then, of course, it's all about the workforce. I have this book that's 700 pages long. It's called Transforming the Workforce for Children Birth through Age 8. Do you see that? You probably can't read it, but if you see that graph, your child is in the very middle. All around them is exactly what we're seeing, right, with these school-based health clinics, is every NGO and organization that's going to surround your child, and on the far left, you'll see family. It's DFACS, it's juvenile justice. They're all involved in this, and these mental health bills are bringing it about. So I do want to talk about one other thing. I want to give you an example of how, I'm almost through, how social-emotional learning undermines the gospel. This is where we as Christians really need to be standing up for many reasons. But let me find this one that I wanted to share. Okay, if you look at SEL, it's a worldview, remember? I'm going to give you three things. SEL wording. Developing a sense of purpose. SEL worldview based on Buddhism, secular, and New Age. Finding purpose within yourself. Biblical worldview is to glorify God in life or death. You shall love your God and your neighbor as yourself. This is about removing our children's free will, everything that we've taught them, and creating a generation that can be controlled by their behavior. And that's what's really, it's very difficult situation. I do want to touch on one other thing before we, I like to give the opposite view of some things sometimes. This doesn't mean I'm asking you to believe what I believe. I'm just asking you to research and not just buy taglines. School choice sounds wonderful. Everybody would want school choice, right? And the money to follow the child. But we know as a conservative group that if it goes to the state first, it never comes back our money. It has ties. Arizona has a school choice bill that is set up as the example. Every child gets, I think it's $7,500. Well, My property tax won't pay for that. So where is this money coming from? It's redistribution of wealth. It's going to come from all of us. What if I have six children and you have one? We're all paying for it. It's redistribution of wealth. The UN pushes school choice. The UN says homeschooling is unsustainable. Why would they say that? Because look what I just showed to you. They want all our children. They want control of all our children. Homeschoolers in Arizona that have opted in, which they always say you can opt in, which I always say Satan makes things beautiful until you can't get out, is they don't apply as homeschoolers anymore. They apply as education savings accounts. Now they're blended into the system. They're being tracked. If that homeschooling family doesn't teach to that assessment, I would say they're probably smart enough to pass it, but we don't know what's on it. There's going to be a black mark on homeschooling. They want homeschooling. And everyone will tell you, well, they can just take it now. And yes, they could, but they would have an uproar. But if you take it a bite at a time, it's much easier. So I think it's a trap for homeschoolers and for private schools. Our private schools, I sat in on a two-day symposium with theology students at Mount Perrin Christian, critical race theory, diversity, equity, inclusion, they all have it. I got a call 2 days ago from a parent in Union City petrified because they got a new headmaster. It's a small private school. Social emotional learning is in. And guess what they brought in? A maze for teens. That is tied to Planned Parenthood. So you have to search hard to find a Christian school and a private school that is not a glorified public school. And why is that? We've taken Title I money, and they've taken COVID money. They've taken government money. And so the goal for this is really to privatize our school system, to bring everything under one umbrella. But even when you do that, that federal money never stops coming. So what is really going to change? That's the federal money that's funding all of what our children are dealing with. The number one funder of school choice and charter schools is the Walton Foundation. The Walton Foundation, if you research them, is all about the LGBTQ movement. I haven't looked yet, but I'm going to look at their board members, and I also want to look into if they're into the school health clinics. What's going to happen when we privatize this? Are they going to do what they do with Walmart and come in and undercut everybody and squeeze out all the rest of our schools? There is a summit coming here in November for 2 days. Jeb Bush is part of it. Jeb Bush has always been a Common Core pusher. Betsy DeVos loves Common Core. Her organization is American Federation for Children that pushes school choice. The largest sponsor of that event is the Walton Foundation. And then you can look below and see the rest of them. But they are in it for profit. Our children are not really being considered. And so I just want you to think about that. I want you to do your own research and not just buy taglines. God is not a God of quick fixes. That's the other thing we keep hearing. We got to do something now. And I have to admit, I'm a little guilty. I've caused this emotional thing going on right now. But God is not a God of quick fixes. And we don't. And what's gotten us into all this trouble are quick fixes. We think it's a quick fix, but in reality, there's an oligarch above us pushing this so hard and telling us we need something now and your money's going to follow your child. And quite honestly, it's the opposite. And so we even teach our children, think, make good decisions, don't make quick decisions. So we need to look at all the people. There are good people. I do want to say this. There are good people and good organizations pushing this. I'm just on the other side. And so I have a small voice, but I'm going to share it everywhere I go because I love these children. God called me into this, and we can't even get out of the fix we're in. And now we're just going to seal the deal with school choice. So I just wanted to share all that. And I am happy to take questions. We have... Oh, I'm a little bit early. That's exciting. Okay, does anyone have questions? Yes, sir.
Here we go. There you go.
You've stated several times that legislation just seems to get killed anytime it goes up, and though we ought to try it, we as Christians ought to affect the government mm-hmm. and everything else. But the greatest thing that we can do, I believe, is to share the life-changing message of the gospel. Mm-hmm. Most Christians could not tell you intellectually why they even believe that there is a God. And they can't share with you intellectually why they believe that Jesus rose from the dead. But we all have, every true Christian has a testimony and has the gospel to give. And the gospel can cut through and transform mm-hmm. the minds of these people. We have the most powerful weapon in the world. And we're praying and being in classes and studying and giving and yet not witnessing in churches. And I, as a pastor, had to relearn to personally mm-hmm. witness because I was just depending on my public preaching. But each Christian needs to be a part of sharing the Great Commission, which is the main thing that Jesus left us to do.
Yes, thank you. And I will tell you, there isn't, and I'm sure with all of you, that's what I do love. God has a purpose for everything. We are always have an ability to pray with someone. I mean, he makes that all possible. This is going to be a huge opportunity, right? We're going to have a lot. We already do hurting parents. It is an opportunity. God does call us, however, not to just share the gospel. He calls us to occupy until he returns. We have no control over the outcome of all this, but he calls us to occupy and to be a part of everything he ordained. And he ordained government. And we've turned it over. We have removed ourselves from it. I want to say that we should still fight. We should still write legislation. We should still do all that stuff. But there is a rotting within our schools that is, I don't know exactly how to go about it. So we're trying everything, right? And we have to strengthen some of our bills. We passed, there were two bills at the Capitol last year, SB 140 and 141. And thank goodness one of them passed. But it was missing a key element. So I'm praying that it goes back and it gets strengthened. It was to hopefully prevent physicians from doing transgender surgery, but there's no teeth to it. So I would say it would be like a pharmaceutical company. I'm going to do as many as I can because there's so much money in it that I'll pay that fine, whatever it is. So we've got to strengthen some of the bills that we do have. The AMA has powerful lobbyists, and so does the pharmaceutical company.
What is the bill number that you can't get heard and get it out of committee?
SB 154, Greg Dolezal, and we've formed a group called, I think I told you, Georgians for Responsible Libraries. We need help with the website. We have someone that's putting it together for us, but none of us know how to add stuff, takes up away. If you know anyone that can help us with the website, but there'll be a petition on that website. And we already have representatives, county leaders now in 15 counties. Our goal is hopefully, if we can get that website going, by the end of October, to have this starting pushing it out and putting pressure on them to get that bill out for hearing and pray they don't change it. It's so simple. They just need to remove school from that loophole. That's all we're asking. It's a one-page bill.
Some of the problems with the bill that was passed on the heartbeat mm-hmm. and transgender bill, it eliminates any possibility, it strengthens the physicians cannot be sued, is what I'm trying to say.
Right.
And that, to me, is a big problem. One of the other things that I've heard that is a problem with school choice and mm-hmm. moving the money is that it doesn't include busing. So parents that can't afford to drive their children don't get a part of it.
So you can find statistics on both sides. My statistics show that usually the bill we have at the Capitol, unless there's another one I haven't seen yet, which there may be, is not a true school choice bill. But that group of individuals that it's catering to usually never use it. They will not going to be able to afford to move to another neighborhood. They usually can't afford the transportation. And they're not always as alert and into education. that is not going, now, yes, it will serve some, but as a whole, it's not going to serve. What we're finding is, it's the private school parents that take advantage of it. And I've got to get the name of these two schools James Lindsay told me about, that now once these private schools get it, they're raising their tuition. They're raising it just like our colleges did, right? So there's a lot of issues out there regarding that.
Hello. I acknowledge that this is an incredibly complex subject, and a lot has been put together. You know, I mean, you've got a lot of issues put together, but several things that you kind of just threw out, I have some concern with, because you talked about the youth survey being a bad thing, and the youth risk survey that is done routinely by the Centers for Disease Control is done for the purpose of trying to identify the extent and type of behaviors that teenagers are having so that public health agencies, everybody who has access to that data, can create programs to prevent teenage pregnancy, to prevent early sex by children, to prevent disease. It's not a survey that's being used to pervert children. It's data that's being used to create programs that will be helpful. And you also mentioned public-private partnerships is a bad thing. It's just a thing. It can be used for good or bad. Half of Georgia Tech is run by public-private partnerships. You know, the food service, the dormitories, the parking garage, or whatever. You know, many, many institutions and organizations use public-private partnerships. So I guess I was just having some concern with so many things being cast, and I understand you have a limited amount of time and you're trying to present a lot of things, but it kind of throws everything in a bad light.
Those are two great questions. Well, you have to remember I'm talking about the school when it comes to public-private partnerships. I'm not talking about in general. I will say, though, I can see several things where public-private partnerships have been an issue. A lot of churches don't create their own ministries, and they join others who are public-private partnerships. They can't share the gospel. So there are areas where it's an issue, and I would say school is one of them. But I'm not looking at it as, and I'm glad you brought that up. That was not in general. I'm tying it to our schools and our charter schools and the people that are involved in, like the Walton Foundation and everyone that's involved in it. So why are we not just, and back to your other question, it was about the CDC. Data is gold. We see that even with Elon Musk. Whoever controls the data controls everything. So it's not just the CDC doing that, and I know that your reasoning makes sense, but now we have it in our school surveys. The Georgia DOE sends out two, tried to pull it up, but I don't have internet. Sends one out twice a year on wellness. Again, it's all negative stuff. I wish I could pull it up. Where's my phone? I don't know. I thought it was up here. But it's all negative stuff. And it's assuming your children do things. How many times have you done drugs? Not how many times do you think about doing drugs. It's all negative. How many prescription drugs have you taken that were not yours? How many prescription drugs do you take? Well, think about where all that can lead. Your child is giving family information, which can lead into them, if you have a DNA issue, which can lead right into that. We don't know where all this data goes. We know it's sold. And we know that the mental health organizations, I was at the Capitol before session in 22, and they were doing a press conference. You could hear the answers to our kids' surveys. These are being used by organizations to accomplish what they want to accomplish. They used all that data to be able to get those mental health bills down there. We have a crisis. We need help, but it should not have encompassed all of Georgia. But yes, we have to recognize there is an issue. And so it isn't all bad. It's when it's taken and used for bad. And this is an overview. That's why I said we come back and do a 4-hour training if anybody's interested and get deeper into each subject. Yes, sir.
Have you and your Christian organizations come around to a potential recommendation that the Federal Education Department be abolished?
Yes, we believe they should be abolished.
Thank you.
Everyone that pushes these agendas is all lobbying groups. The Georgia School Counseling Association is a lobbying group. You should go on and look at their legislative agenda. The Georgia School Board Association is a lobbying group. They help bring in our superintendents. And you should look at their legislative agenda. And it's usually the superintendents that are the change makers in the schools. Now, there are one or two counties that we haven't found that. But and so all the National Education Association, they push all of this. I mean, it's all social justice. All we just need to go back to that one-room schoolhouse. I'll tell you what, our number one opt-out is our fix is for parents to do what God called us to do and take control of our children's education. The other thing we're trying to do is start, we've sent a couple of people off already to be trained in a Christian school model called the principal approach. It's all books. They're taught like our founding fathers were taught. They don't use the internet until they absolutely have to use the internet. And so we have got, as Christians, to start schools and protect those schools by not taking government money and not bringing in SEL. When SEL comes in, that is the downfall of that school. It's starting. So we need to be innovative. We need to mentor these young women that don't know what to do. They know something's wrong and they want to do something and they need us. They need us. They need mentoring. These parents need mentoring and they need someone to come alongside them. And I think the church needs to do that. I think our churches need to step up. We need to go in. That's one of the things I would love to do. It's on our mission statement back there, is we need more funding so that we can go into churches and educate them on what's happening in the schools and encourage them to open their doors to either a private school, homeschooling, hybrid schools, whatever it is. That is the real answer, because this generation is not going to change. It would take 1 to 2 generations to change this if we get it changed. So we're losing this generation. So what can we do as Christians? What does God call us to do? And he calls us to step up, and we need to do that. We need to protect these children. We need to, and this is, I'm telling you, it's for the remnant, because when we speak, if one person pulls their child, I'm very satisfied because I hear the stories, and it's not until the past 3 or 4 months, and Richard can tell you, that I wouldn't wake up in the middle of the night just crying. It's that bad. And so bills aren't going to fix it anytime soon. School choice will not fix it. We have to stand up as a church and take our role that God has given us to save these children, or as many as we can. So anyway, and in the meantime, there are tons of children that cannot come out of these schools, and we know it. I have never seen so many children with disabilities in my life. I talked to two one day, two parents, and what they were going through was amazing. And I was going to meet my children for dinner, and I just thought, oh my gosh, Lord, how many people get to go meet their children for dinner and they can actually go home and be on their own? I mean, I can't get over the number of children, of whether it's the vaccines, whatever it is, that are really the parents can't take their children out. So let's make it better for them where they are. I don't know what that looks like, but I know this has been heavy, and I'm sorry for that. But I hope that it's enlightened you some as to what's happening, and that if nothing else, you share If you want to get involved, we would love it. If you'd love to support us financially, we would love that so that we can expand into more of this Christian education and what we're doing. So I think, does anyone else have a question? Yes, sir.
I appreciate your presentation here. It's very emotional, actually, to deal with even the presentation here that you've given, and I actually think you've understated it. It's actually, I think, far worse than what you stated. One thing that I would like to ask you is that the people who are instituting this aren't acting in a very emotive way that many of us in this room feel right now. I would say they have a very cool, calculated approach in which they're implementing this, and it has an objective that goes far beyond the 18-year-old graduation. So what is it that they're trying to accomplish that this is what one component of? Do you have any opinion on that?
Well, I have my opinion, and my opinion is this is the one world, one religion. SEL is the one world religion, I'm going to tell you. And if as us as Christians, we're discerning, if you just close your eyes and look at everything that's happening around us, not just in our schools, it is Marxism. It is communism. And the ultimate goal, I mean, is the one. We're approaching that one world order that God tells us about. You control this generation, and you should look up the... Oh, I could do a whole nother talk on that. I'm not going to go into that. But I believe that's it. I think Scripture is just being fulfilled. And I think God's calling us to be involved. And
would you make a follow-up question with respect to SEL? Would you think that the objective is for people to generate a population that makes emotive decisions makes them believe that they've made an informed decision?
Let me tell you where we're going next. It's already being piloted in another county, and I've got the slides where they were trained on it. It's called... It's, again, SEL's at the center, personalized learning and project-based learning. Thanks. It's moving away at some point from teachers, going into more parapros where they float from room to room, mixing the age groups, and more AI. What is that going to bring? More mental health issues, right? Because it's more isolation. And think about a child wearing a pair of virtual reality glasses. You control their world. You can flash lights and get them to retract onto something else. I mean, you are creating their world for them. And the ultimate goal of that is to be a global citizen. You'll be doing work in your Atlanta with someone across the world, and it's all based on the sustainable development goals, which could be your culture, your art, gardening, whatever it is. It's nothing. It's called lifelong learning. We've heard that statement for a long time, and now we're beginning to see what it really means. So, yes, that's where we're headed, and it is a... We have teenagers that come to school board members that meetings that say, I can't learn unless my teacher looks like me. We've created victimhood. That's what we've done. Because they sit in these circles every morning to talk about their feelings and do a feelings check, wellness check. And they are taught, as we were saying, to just self-reflect. It's all about them. It's all inward. And we're creating victimhood. And we're creating a generation of narcissists, too. And do you know what else we're doing? We're not teaching them the law. Because we were at a board meeting, and the senior was talking about, somehow we got the pornography books. We got into, did he know it was against the law? Because some of these books are pedophilia. And to have sex with a younger person, he had no clue. So we're, and why would he know? Because in all these books, we're teaching him it's okay to have sex with younger children. So they don't even know when they're going to, the laws will be changed probably, but yes, it's all feelings. It's all emotions based, no critical thinking at all. They don't want you to critically think. It's collectivism. We're creating collectivism, which is communism.
Okay.
One last question.
Yeah.
Thank you. Sandy just told me before I start to vote between the 16th and the 6th of November. That's where we can make a difference in the voting. Find out.
November 7th is election day.
And I want to hand it to you. I can't believe I've heard and known about the movements going on, and you, we need a million of you. I really believe that there's got to be a change. I mean, you brought tears to my eyes. I can't believe how deep this is. I saw Khrushchev years ago. I saw him take his shoe off, pound the podium, and say, "We're going to take over America without firing a shot." Okay? Anybody else see that? Okay. I believe, well, you brought the vigilante out of me. I'm ready to go start, you know, I'm a good sharpshooter. But I know we can't do that. We got to start from the ground one. I'm a thinker. I thought, why don't we get a lot of well-known mothers, put them in neighborhoods, put the organization together in neighborhoods, start schools, you know, home schools with banding different homes together. We've got to do as much as we can to put you out there, put billboards out. You know, we need a lot of this information spread out as quick as we can. And we just can't mess around and just let this sit in our brain and hurt us.
And we need it, I mean, like today, I hate to say it. What? As they have been working on this for how many years? The first, in 1950, the UNESCO came into our country, and that was our first school board rally, and it was in L.A. And at that time, UNESCO said any textbook publisher that wants to align with us has to agree to start eroding our history, which we've seen that happen, right? But even those ladies back then said that nothing they did changed anything. So we've got to come up with an alternative, especially for the children now. And especially, I mean, we've got to build that next generation of Christian children that are going to go out and change the world, right? And so that's why I feel like we need to fill in the gap. We've got to have something. And I will tell you, not every parent will listen. A lot of parents don't want to change their lifestyles. They don't want to give up anything. But God is going to raise up. God is going to raise up the families. He's going to awaken them. That's not our job. So we just have it to offer, right?
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. And very thought-provoking. I grew up in the 50s, and I remember Brave New World, and I think it's here.
Brave New World is here, guys, but you need to Brave New World. We've accomplished, according to this scientist I was looking to, 70% of it.
Okay, thank you. Dear Father, we thank you for this morning. It's a lot of things to think of. They're disturbing. We're worried about our country, our children, and the lives about us. Lord, we know that ultimately your kingdom will overcome, but right now, Lord, we're concerned. Dear Father, I ask you to be with us as we go through this morning. And again, thank you and be with us through this week. Christ, and we ask. Amen.